As we mentioned, Pastor Ralph is recovering from surgery. The surgery was successful. He's in a little bit of a pain, but he's in a little bit, there you go. I want to make sure I didn't say he's a pain, but he's in lots of pain, all right? He's in lots of pain, and they're trying to manage it. So please, let's keep our pastor in our prayers, okay? And when you have some time, you can also visit him. We do have the information. I think Mark can get that to you if you'd like to give him a visit. Amen? All right. 2 weeks ago, we learned from John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, that a Christian, one who is born again, is someone who comes under the rulership of Jesus. That means they see the kingdom, and they come into fellowship with his people. They enter into the kingdom. We said that this was a very basic definition of Christianity. If you haven't been here for the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about what it means to do life together, what it means. Last week we talked about what it means to walk together, and today we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to work together. All right, so last week, I'm just going to give you a brief description of what we talked about last week. We learned that God has given all humanity new life in Jesus. So those that believe in him, they have new life. This life is founded on Jesus' sacrifice and love for us. And this life is lived by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this undeserved life, founded on love and sacrifice, lived by faith, gives us several assurances as we walk together. We talk about some of these assurances. Like, we have God's help in all things. He's right with us in the front seat of the car that we drive. He's right there. We can turn to him anytime. So we have God's help in all things. The second we learned is that we have confidence in God, omnipresent, working in our world, especially in those who are Christians. You can look at your neighbor, right? Jesus is working in that neighbor the same way he is working in you. We also have examples of how to deal with each other in all sorts of different circumstances through the word. We can love because God loves us. We can sacrifice because Jesus sacrificed for us. I mean, Christians do all kind of crazy things, right? Right? Like pray and ask God to bless those who are trying to hurt us. That's crazy, right? Like, we're quick to forgive. You know, somebody mess with you, we just forgive. We value transparency, and so we confront to clear up misunderstandings, right? We go the extra mile. So somebody asks you for your jacket, we give them the jacket and the shoe. Amen? So we do all kind of crazy things, right? We also can practice trusting God. These are one of the assurances that we have. And one way we can do this is by attaching what God says concerning us. I didn't touch on that last week, but one of the things, many times we live in a world that attach things to us, right? It put us in status. It put us in a certain social economic status. It put us in different racial status. It just gives us different status. But as children of God, we need to attach to ourselves the things that God has says about us, okay? So he says that we're children of God. So you are a child of God. We are blessed to be a blessing. It says that we are healed through Jesus Christ. It says that we are delivered. It says that we are loved. It says that we are never alone, that God is with me always. Amen? And God is in us. He's working, making us better together, and propelling us further into the work he has for us. So that's what we talked a little bit about last week. Now, basically for the past 2 weeks, basically what I'm trying to say is that we have all we need to be intimate with God. When we looked at the life that God has given to us, we have everything we need to be intimate with God. We also have everything we need to fellowship with one another. And today, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the work that needs to be done. Amen? So my first point to you this morning is this. God has a work for you. Amen? God has a work for you. Now, what is work? What is work? You know, we can trace the whole concept of work to the very beginning of creation, in which God created the world and mankind in 6 days. And the Bible says he did 6 days of work, and on the seventh day, he rested. You can see this in Genesis 2, 3. So work was affiliated with creation. Okay? The ability to create. Okay? Now, he then gave mankind rulership over the earth, and putting him in a garden, he put him in the Garden of Eden, and he told him, listen, cultivate it and maintain it. That's in Genesis 2:15 and Genesis 1:28. For those who have notepads and writing and who are scholars. For us who also who have, you know, the brain to hold it, amen. I'm just telling you where it comes from. All right? So, work was affiliated with rulership, with cultivation, and with maintenance. Work to God was, I'm going to say it again, creation, rulership, cultivation, and maintenance, right? Now, after the fall of man, sin entered the world. Work became affiliated with toil, thorns, and thistles. Genesis 3, 17 and 18. Work also became affiliated with the sweat of your face to eat. From since then, mankind has been sweating in order to eat. Okay, Genesis 3, 19. Now, when we think of work, we think about exerting physical or mental effort in order to gain results. We work for a living. We work to make ends meet. We work to have money to buy things. We work to provide for our families. We work to secure a good life for ourselves. We work to find purpose. We work to give meaning to our lives. We work to eat, like I said before. Now, this type of work is a big part of our lives, and we understand it very well. I don't need to convince you that you need to work in order to eat. I don't need to convince you, right, that no work equals no food. Right? I don't need to convince you of that. We already know that. Yet, in Christ, not only do we have new life, but we have a new work. In Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Okay? Look at your neighbor. Sorry, I just said that because I saw one, two people closing their eyes. So when I said, look to your neighbor, it will force you to open your eyes. Amen? Praise God. All right? Hallelujah. So the word workmanship is a Greek word called poema, which means something that is made. It means to create. In other words, believers are God's creation, being created for good works beforehand, in advance. Amen? Now, the good works that God created beforehand is the work that he created us to do from the very beginning. From the very beginning, before sin entered in, we were created. God created us so that we can create. We were created to rule. We were created to cultivate, and we were created to maintain, to continue the work that God has started. Amen? So it hasn't changed. The work beforehand is the same work that God has created for us to do from the very beginning. That's what they're talking about beforehand. Amen? So when God restores us to himself in Christ Jesus, he's also restoring the work he has for you and me. Amen? Repeat after me. God has a good work for me. Amen? Amen. So how do we access God's work for us? How do we step into it? How do we make it ours? Like, everybody here, I know that everybody here would love to create, loves creating, would love to rule, would love to cultivate, and would love to maintain. continue what God has started? How do we access God's work? In Matthew 6, 28 and 33, it says, "And why are you so anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you," see that word toil? "Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. These lilies, they are not breaking sweat to look the way they're looking." Okay? "Yet, they are more glorious," God says, "than the most wealthy man in Scripture, King Solomon." Amen? "But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" God is saying, listen, I am able to provide your every need. I am able to take care of you. Amen? "Now, therefore, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Is this not the things we toil for? We work extremely hard to have. These are just the basics." Amen? Clothing and food. The Bible says, for the Gentiles, the unbelievers, those that work and sweat, seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There is only one way for us to find the work God has for us. And that is to make the kingdom of God your priority. Amen? To be kingdom seekers. Now, earlier I mentioned that the basics of the kingdom is a king and his subjects. Our king is Jesus. And his subjects are those who believe. The ones he's creating. Now, when we make Jesus and fellowship with his people priority, we will gain access to the good works God has for us. Now, when Paul met Jesus on the road of Damascus, he saw Jesus, and Jesus revealed to him the work he wanted him to do in Acts chapter 9. Now, God sent him to who? God sent Ananias Paul's way, right? He was a fellow believer. Ananias prayed for Paul, and Paul, who was blind, received his sight. The Bible says that he spent many days with the Christians, with the believers in Damascus. So two things. I know you heard it, but I'm going to repeat it again. Two things you need to have this good work. We need Jesus, and we need his subjects. We need each other. We need each other. And you know the good thing about this, eh? You know the good thing about this is that God has given to us both. He's given to us Jesus, and he's given to us each other. You know, the person that's sitting next to you that is in Christ Jesus is a gift from God to you. You know, is a gift from God to you. I would not know you if it wasn't for Jesus. And you would not know me if it wasn't for Jesus. But he did his work in us. He's creating in us. And he's putting us together. Amen? You know, before coming to Canada, I went to a church that was very conservative when it comes to prayer. I learned that prayer was a private act between God and myself done quietly. I mean, we pray always with our understanding. So the whole speaking in tongues and stuff like that, it wasn't on the plate. And I was very content with that way of praying. Very content. Until I met my wife and heard her pray for the very first time. I mean, it was so different from what I was accustomed to. I mean, it was with authority, as though God was standing right in front of her. And she was using God's word to remind him of his promises. You know, she was saying to God, "You said that you will provide. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Provide." I'm like, hmm? Hey, I was like, huh? I was like, whoa. I was like, what? I never thought that I could do that with God. After all, he knows his word. Why do I need to remind him? Nevertheless, she boldly declared God's promises and claimed the assurance, the confidence of those promises as her very own. Me, I was peeping to see if Jesus was there. I was peeping to see if the angels were there. I want to know who she was talking to. Amen? But that's how she was doing it. Now, I remember thinking, Father, I want to pray like this girl, right? We weren't dating. There was no physical attraction yet or anything like that. I mean, she probably was physically attracted to me, you know. But anyway. I'm gonna pay for that later. All right. But as I look back, did you know what was happening in that moment of prayer? She passed something on to me without even knowing. She passed on to me faith and a desire to cultivate a stronger prayer life. And she fulfilled this through her own seeking of God. As in Hebrews 10:24 says, stir one another up to what? To good works. Now, how does this translate, Pastor, to food on our table, clothes on our back, roof over our head, food for our household, diapers for our little ones? Any takers? Say that again. He can do it. Like, we are here, aren't we? We're here. We have nice clothes. None of us look like we are starving. God just provides over and over and over and over again. Amen? There you go. Many, 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 many times over. Amen? That is who God is. That is who he is. He just provides. And I can go into my own life. I'm a testimony of God's provision. Amen? All right. Now, the third thing I want to bring to our attention, what's the purpose of this work? I mean, he's given us so many good things. Create, rule, cultivate, maintain. He's given us Jesus. He's given us each other. Now, what's the purpose of all of this? Well, the purpose of the work is, according to Daniel 7, 13, and 14. No, pastors, you know, we just don't give you the answer right away. We like to take you for a ride, all right? So hold on. In Daniel 7, 13, and 14, it says, I saw in the night vision. This is Daniel. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there was one like a son of man. This is Jesus. And he came to the Ancient of Days. Could you imagine? Just dream with me seeing this with Daniel. Okay? And this son of man, he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Sometimes I wonder, how does he know he's son of man? How does he know Ancient of Days? Where do you get these words from? But anyway. And to him, in verse 14, was given dominion, was given glory, and was given a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus was given here an everlasting dominion. He was given glory and a kingdom that would not be destroyed, in which all peoples, nations, and language would serve him. But yet in Mark 10:45, the Bible says that, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Look, our King forsook heaven and his grandeur to come and serve you and me by dying on the cross. Although he had the right and the power to make himself be served, he puts himself at the service of humanity. At the service of humanity. In Mark 10:42 and 44, Jesus' two disciples were having this discussion. And they came up to Jesus, James and John. They said, Jesus, look, when, you know, your kingdom has come, can I sit on the right? And can my brother sit on the left? And Jesus, they wanted position. They wanted to be acknowledged with Jesus. But he told them something. He says, listen, in this world, those that are great, they rule over others. But not in my kingdom. If you want to be great in my kingdom, then you need to be a servant. You need to serve. Those that want to be first in my kingdom must be a slave to all. Jesus' work was to serve humanity, and he has called us to do the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. The good work God is working in us that is enabling us to create, to rule, to cultivate, to maintain, to continue that thing that he started. The access that he's given us through Jesus and fellowship with one another. All of it is to serve him. It's to serve each other. And it's to serve our world. Our work is not a position. It is not a title. It is not lordship. But it's servanthood. If you're seeking greatness in God's kingdom, there's only one way. Servanthood. Amen. So you put on the hood, you serve. When I started in ministry, or call it ministry, all I did was serve. That's all I did. What did I have? I had some talents that God gave. Drama, I love drama. And so I wrote and I act. That's what I did. I told people about Jesus through drama. So I wanted to do serve. And then before I knew it, somebody's asking me to run a youth ministry. And so what did I do? I served. And true serving, let me tell you, the kingdom of God is not for chickens. It's not for chickens. That's why God has given us all these things to create, to rule, to cultivate, to maintain. He's given us Jesus and he's given us each other. It is not for chickens. This thing requires love. Love. Seeking God. Seeking him. Amen. But God has blessed me so much as a result of that. You know, he's blessed me so much. He's blessed me so I don't even know what to do. Sometimes when you take a recollection of what God has done, sometimes we get caught up of, oh, I don't. But when you look at what God has done in our lives, he has been good. You know, not in a million years would I think that I would have had the privilege of having an African queen all the way from Kenya. All the way from Kenya. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But you know, when you're walking with God, he gives you good things. He has good work for you. And he gives you good things for this work. Amen? He gives you good things for this work. I won't tell you, there was a little bit of sweating in between that, but God made sure he did what he did. And sometimes, you know, we sweat for no reason. God says, I have it. I have you. But sometimes we want to say, but how? But how? And then we start sweating. God says, hey, I have you. I have you. Amen? You know, he's given us so much. As you can reflect on your own life, God has given you a lot. Think about the opportunities. Think about your families. Think about your friends. Think about the people that have touched your lives. Think about people that just walked in for a moment and then they walked out. But they left such a, they had such an impact in your life. It shaped who you are today. God gives us good things for the work that he has for us. Now, the early church had this correct. The Bible says in Acts 2, 4 and 6, and we're coming down to the end. The Bible says they were united in purpose. They went to the temple every day, ate at each other's home, and shared their food with glad and humble hearts. The early church understood servanthood. And servanthood unites us in purpose. That's what it did for them. It united them in purpose. In Acts 21:5, it says, When our days there were ended, this is Paul, we left and started on our journey. While they all, this is the church, with their wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we say farewell to one another. Servanthood enables us to really, really love one another. We go that extra mile. And in Romans 1:12, it says, in other words, that while I am among you, we may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith, yours and mine. When we're busy serving God, we encourage one another. We encourage one, as iron sharpens iron, we encourage one another. We see things in each other, you know, that we learn and we glean. Like how I saw the prayer of my wife, how she prayed, I wanted that. And you know, the other day, someone said to me, Pastor, you have to teach us how to pray. How did you learn to pray like that? I was like, it was my wife. The thing with God's kingdom, it's such a it deals sometimes with multiplication. You know, it gives, I practice, and others want. You know, and so we were always giving and taking, giving and taking. Praise God. God has a good work for you. Amen? He has a really good work for you. Now, we're starting this initiative also within our church called Life Groups. And this is a time where we come together as a body in different small groups where we fellowship, we pray, and we study together. We get to know each other. This will help us grow our intimacy with God, our fellowship with one another, and our work together. And I'm very, also the leadership, Pastor Ralph, the elders, are very excited about this initiative. Very, very excited.